This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It is time to go outdoors with Steve Kearney, and it's stevekearneyoutdoors.com. Steve, how you been?
I've been shoveling snow, Steve. How about you?
Yeah, same deal. Got everything cleaned up. And now the winds have picked up a little bit, and it's kind of blowing in spots, but that's all right. That's the deal. It's winter.
Yep, I got to tell you, I had a great time this week. I was invited to be the keynote speaker at the Rice Area Sportsmen's Club down by St. Cloud, Little Falls, in that area. And this sportsmen's group had a celebration for 85 years for all that they've done. And I'll tell you, I went through a lot of their archives, and the things that they've done in the last 85 years are amazing, with their land acquisitions and their participation in youth sports and all the funding they've done. You know, they've helped out the fire departments, the high schools, the DNR. I mean, they've done some tremendous stuff, and it was just really cool to hear their history. And they were formed in 1940. They're still going strong. So it was a really great night. And a lot of these sportsmen's clubs, you don't hear much about what they do, but I'll tell you, behind the scenes, they do a lot, and a lot of unheralded stuff that people don't really hear about. And just very impressive and, you know, important. And there was a lot of youth there, too, which, you know, is a big deal. And, you know, this club takes care of a lot of things that you don't know about, like helping out the archery people and the shooting sports, and just an amazing night. So I was really honored to be there.
Yeah, good stuff for sure. Those local groups, those, you know, you talk, when, especially when it comes to waterfowl, pheasants, et cetera. Habitat's huge.
Yeah, you know, they release a lot of pheasants. They introduced turkeys back in the 1990s in the area. And the thing that impressed me the most is they're acquiring properties and land, and then they're giving it back to the DNR and the state of Minnesota for public hunting. I mean, that's a huge deal, and just very impressive. And, yeah, it's quite an amazing bunch of people.
Yeah, great stuff. Steve, how's the bite right now? What's going on out on the frozen water?
Well, the snow, Steve, North Country, Lakes Country, 4 to 7 inches of snow, just finished up this morning. I think it's going to affect travel on the ice a little bit. You know, we still have 22, 23 inches of ice. The ice is good, but now I think getting around and to and from your spots are going to be more of a challenge. I think a four-wheel drive vehicle is still okay, but if you hit some drifts out there with that heavy wind we had on Thursday, it could be a little dicey. So I don't know. We're going to have to see if the resorts do some plowing and kind of see how things open up again. But I think it's going to be a snowmobile affair. I'm not sure about an ATV right now, but, you know, people are going to have to be reverting to snowmobiles and pulling portables. You know, I did notice this week a lot of people were taking their wheelhouses off the lakes just in anticipation of this storm that came in, which is probably a smart move, but chances are they might be, you know, taking them out again. And the walleye season, inland season, closes on the 23rd, so hard to say who's going to come back, if at all.
Yeah, it just flies by. A short month here in February. Steve, let's kind of talk about maybe the what we're seeing change-wise. I know lead in a lot of environments, certainly waterfowl hunting, has been bad news for a long, long time. I know you wanted to talk a little bit about tungsten jigs versus lead for ice fishing.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of the new thing, Steve, and I think eventually lead is going to be outlawed, just like it has for shooting sports.
Yeah.
And I've been using tungsten, you know, on and off, especially for very deep water, because it's very dense and it sinks really fast, but it's really expensive stuff. And I think they're, you know, looking for other alternatives, because, you know, a regular lead head jig for ice fishing is 50 cents, 60 cents, but tungsten, you're over $2 for one jig. And if you got a lot of toothy critters like northern pike, you're going to go through quite a few of them in a typical morning. But they are, you know, the density of it makes them sink fast, and you can actually use a very small jig all the way down to 20, 30 feet, but you'd have to go to a heavier jig if you're using lead. But it's definitely going to be the jig of the future. There's no doubt. Lead will be outlawed probably within the next 2 to 4 years. That's a given for sure. So tungsten is the next alternative, unless they come up with something like tungsten, but not as expensive, because man, it's that's a lot of money for one little tiny jig.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But the problems with lead have been well documented over the years, and probably a good idea to move in another direction. Steve, what's the plan this week? I suppose it's going to get cold. There's no doubt about it. We got a cold snap coming.
I'm not liking this week, Steve. This is not looking good. I'm seeing some minus 22s and minus 21s at night, and I'm seeing, you know, 1 degree for highs. This is going to be a tough week. And, you know, if you're in a hard house or something, you can kind of tough it out. But if you're in a portable like I am, it can be a real challenge. And, you know, I try to, you know, anything below like 10 degrees can be a little, you know, a little tough on your body. But I'm hoping we get this week past us quick, and I think we're going to bottom out on winter here this week and be done with this really cold stuff, and then, you know, accelerate the temperatures and get things going at the end of February. But this next week, I don't know. I'm not looking forward to this at all. So,
yeah,
you know, if you have a chance to go to Florida, Steve, go.
Yeah, big challenge. No plans. I'd love to go to spring training in Fort Myers and catch a ball game or two, but I don't know if that's going to be in the cards here in 2025. Hey, Steve, always good to visit with you. We'll do it again next week.
All right, sounds great. Take care.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney, stevekearneyoutdoors.com. He's been joining us on the weekends for years. And by the way, our outdoors coverage continues on Sundays. Rob Dreisein from the Outdoor News has a great show every Sunday between 5 and 6. Tons of great guests, etc. Once again, Rob in the Outdoor News, Sundays between 5 and 6 here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It is the Timberwolves and the Trailblazers tonight from Target Center. And the Timberwolves, after tonight, have a really tough week schedule-wise. It's just crazy when you look at that upcoming schedule. We'll get into all things Wolves with Chris Hine, who covers the club for the Star Tribune, and joins us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Chris, good to visit with you.
How are you doing, Steve? Good to talk to you again, as always.
Yeah, I've got to start with the deadline. The Timberwolves didn't make any moves, but the Kevin Durant rumors were flying, and it was, could it happen? Well, it didn't, but that was really interesting because there was that blockbuster Davis ultimately from the Lakers to the Mavericks, and Luka Doncic moves over to L.A., but wow, the Kevin Durant rumors, that was something.
Yeah, you know, I think it's the Doncic trade is a lesson in the NBA, never say never to anything. And I think with the Kevin Durant stuff, I think there's, you know, there would be some mutual interest there on Kevin Durant's part, perhaps, to coming to play with Anthony Edwards, somebody who has become a good friend of his, and they've developed a really close relationship. Obviously, this was Ant's favorite player growing up. You know, they played in the Olympics together. They came off the bench together for most of the Olympics, and they really formed a special connection. So, you know, in the NBA, that stuff matters. The relationships, the friendships, all that stuff kind of matters when it comes to player movement and acquisition. So, you know, never say never. And just because it didn't happen now doesn't mean it can't happen down the road, potentially, as circumstances change and, you know, the trajectory of franchises change. So, you know, just keep an eye on that for the future. And, you know, one thing, shameless plug on my part, but I have a book coming out about Anthony Edwards this spring, and one of the chapters deals with that relationship between Kevin Durant and Anthony Edwards. So you can see how their friendship really formed and the bond that they formed over the summer.
And I would assume that book will be available wherever you buy books.
That's correct. Yeah, I got HarperCollins as my publisher. The book is titled Ant, simply A-N-T. It's up on Amazon, anywhere you can buy books. So, yeah, it would be hopefully a good collector's item, at least, for every Timberwolves fan.
Yeah, and Ant is really playing well. And it's one of those things, and I think you and I have discussed it, and I've kind of said it to anybody who will listen. I had a theory that when Cat was traded, it was, I'm the guy. And that was part of the Timberwolves' struggles early. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo, Cat has moved on, is in New York. There's certainly big changes with this organization, but with Ant in particular, all of a sudden now, he's the guy for the Timberwolves, a team that is expected to get on a deep playoff run. And with that, it's a bit of a burden. Well, as of late, he's been great.
He's been fantastic. Throughout the month of January and continuing into February, he's played his best basketball of the season. It was a rough December for him. His averages and everything were way down, but he really picked it back up. Really, the turning point, I think, really was that moment after the Boston game in early January. If you remember, that was the game where he spent about 5 minutes after the game basically complaining about all the double teams he was seeing and how difficult it was on a night-in, night-out basis. If you go back and just look at his numbers from that point onward, I think that was maybe, you know, a moment where he realized he had to try harder and do better. For as much as he was venting to the media in that moment, I think after that, he came into the facility and was basically like, that's not really me. I'm going to do better. I'm going to work harder. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And really, since that moment, he's really turned it on this season and playing some of his best basketball. And, you know, quite honestly, these last two wins that they had, they don't have them if Anthony Edwards doesn't play as well as he did in both of them, because both of those games had perilous moments where they could have lost. And they didn't, because Anthony Edwards took control at various moments in those games and led them to a win.
Yeah, and it's imperative that there are a lot of other good players. They have experience. They have some young guys. They have a lot of the ingredients. And as I mentioned, Randle and DiVincenzo figured to be a key part of it and will be a key part of it down the stretch when healthy. They are not available right now. So it's even more important that Ant is playing at a very high level and willing the team to victories.
This is what you have to do in the NBA, and this is what you have to do to be a superstar in the NBA. Sometimes you have to put the team on your back and just lead them through these tough stretches when guys are out and you need wins in the middle of February. You know, this is what it means to be a superstar in the NBA. It's having that kind of an impact on the game night in, night out, you know, no matter how you're feeling. Get over your sluggishness, your fatigue, whatever you're feeling, and try to get a win and do the best you can to get a win. And that's where I think Ant has made his biggest progression in 5 years. He brings it more often on a night-in, night-out basis than he used to. And even if the shot isn't falling, the effort is there, the competitiveness is there. You know, so I think that's where he's made his biggest strides. And when you're a max player now, you know, let's face it, he's making a lot of money now. He's not on his rookie deal anymore. So you have to live up to the expectations of that contract. And you are the franchise leader. So there are certain nights where other guys may not have it going, and you have to put it on yourself to help them get that win.
Chris Hine joining us from the Star Tribune. Timberwolves Blazers tonight. Quite a week. Cavaliers Monday, Bucks Wednesday. The Bucks have had one of those years where it's kind of like injuries to Giannis, etc. And then the Oklahoma City Thunder here on Thursday, and they've been phenomenal.
Yeah, it's a rough week. Close out the break here, and then they play Oklahoma City again two more times on the opposite side of the break. So really, like, you know, the next 2 weeks of games that they have from the schedule standpoint are going to be tough. But honestly, once they clear that, it's a fairly easy schedule the last 2 months of the season. And there's going to be a lot of stretches where I think they have some very winnable games. And at that point in the season, the teams that are tanking are really going to be tanking, you know, and you're going to see some maybe weird lineups from certain teams. Like, for instance, the Wolves still have to play Utah three more times the rest of the season. Utah has no interest in winning games right now. So, you know, you look at the schedule, Charlotte's on there, Utah's on there, some of the teams that are really struggling are on there. So one, if you can get by this next kind of stretch of two games, you know, try to at least pull off one or two of those Oklahoma City games, you know, you could set yourself up to really make a run post All-Star break, just because I think the schedule will break in their favor a little bit.
And lo and behold, look at the NBA standings at the moment. They're at the Magic number 6 in the Western Conference. And really, that's the goal. I mean, sure, number 1 or number 2 is nice. You just want to avoid the play-in. I mean, number 1, get in the postseason. But avoid the play-in tournament. It's all good, considering where they've been this year at times where it's kind of like, is this team going to win more than 41 games? Now it's like, hey, they're in the 6. They still have a lot of games to play. Ant's playing well. There is a reason for optimism.
There is. You know, you got to get back healthy as well. And, yep. You know, by all indications so far, Dante and Julius, you know, they'll be reevaluated in about a week or so. And, you know, you hope by the time they're playing after the All-Star break, if those guys are back. But that's just it. I think at this point right now, you know, you want that 6th seed. That should be the goal, the main goal for the rest of the season. Because, you know, this is a team that proved last postseason that it can win on the road in the playoffs. So home court advantage, as nice as it is to have, isn't the be-all, end-all that it used to be. But avoiding the play-in tournament, I think, and the randomness of that is what they should be focused on here from here on out. And, you know, you look at some of the teams that may finish in the 3 slot. It could be Houston, who's unproven in playoff, you know, a playoff situation, right? It could be Memphis, who I think the Wolves are very familiar with Memphis and how they play and what they would need to do in a series against Memphis. So I don't think if you end up as the 6th seed that any of the potential matchups 6-3 are going to scare you all that much. So I think that should be their goal. That's got to be their focus, avoiding that play-in. Because if you get in the play-in, then the possibility exists that you end up as the 8th seed, and you don't want to face Oklahoma City in the first round if you can help it.
Yeah, 41-9 Thunder. Wow. They are good. They're young. And you never know how it's going to play out in the NBA, but their window appears to be wide open and could be a long window to be a major factor in the West for years.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's a scary thing about where Oklahoma City is right now. And they have a treasure trove of draft picks that I think a lot of people around the league are like, when are they going to cash some of these in to make like a major, you know, a major move, right? Because that's usually the move. You get good, and then you can push in these draft picks to try to acquire another superstar or something like that. And they're doing it. They're doing all this without having sacrificed hardly any of their draft capital to get there. So, you know, it's a scary situation for the rest of the league. But at the end of the day, you know, you look at what Oklahoma City has now and you just hope that, okay, they have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. If you can try to limit everybody else around him, you have a shot, you know, but that's tough. That's a tough ask when you have Jalen Williams playing as well as he is, and Chet Holmgren coming back, and we've seen what Chet can do when he's healthy. It's a talented, deep team right there.
Yeah, for sure, and rightfully so, leading the Western Conference. Couple of quick thoughts before we let you go. By the way, Timberwolves and Blazers, Target Center tonight, 7 o'clock on free over-the-air TV. I love it. Tip of the cap to the Timberwolves to make some games on free over-the-air TV there on Care 11 tonight at 7 o'clock. The Doncic trade, your quick thoughts on that? I know it caught the sports world by surprise. What do you make of that?
I mean, it caught everybody by surprise. I think for me, it comes down to two separate thought processes. And I think one of them I don't really fault Dallas for, but the second one I would. Number one is you've decided that, okay, you're not going to be in the Luka Doncic business going forward because you don't like his habits, his conditioning, or whatnot, right? So, okay, you've made that decision. Right or wrong, that's the decision you've made, and you're the organization that knows him best. But I think where they erred was not opening up the trade process to perhaps the biggest kind of bidding war in NBA history for a superstar. And I think that's where you fault some of the process, right? It's the potential return that you get for a 25-year-old who could be an MVP candidate for the next 7 to 9 or 10 years, right? So that, to me, is where the Mavericks really erred, and the Lakers really benefited as a result, because Dallas did not extract all that it could for Luka Doncic in that trade.
Well, what about Davis to the Mavericks? And they have Kyrie Irving, and they have some other pieces. I mean, this is a team that went to the finals. Doncic, obviously, a huge part of it. But Davis is no slouch when healthy.
He's not, and, you know, it's not coincidentally use the term when healthy, because I just saw on Twitter that he's doubtful to return to their game today because of a lower body injury. So, you know, that's just it. When healthy, I think that Mavericks team could be a good team. Like, that's, you know, in the short term, the Dallas Mavericks should be very good, right, with Anthony Davis, as long as he's healthy. But, you know, I think people just look at that trade and it's like, Luka Doncic is 25 years old. Anthony Davis is 31, right? The clock is ticking on the peak of Anthony Davis's career, whereas Luka Doncic has a much longer runway of potential sustained excellence and success. So, you know, yes, I agree with you that in the short term, Dallas will be fine, but for the next decade, that's going to be a tough trade to look at, you know, especially when we get 5, 6, 7 years down the road.
And then finally, just a quick thought, Jimmy Butler to the Warriors. Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, day in, day out together. Wow.
Well, let's see. Let's see how it plays out. You know, maybe there will be a mutual respect there, right? You know, because they're both very tough-minded guys who like playing defense, right? So who knows? Maybe they'll actually get along well. But, you know, it's an interesting move. Golden State is obviously saying, look, we're not going to try to waste the last couple of years of Steph Curry's brilliance here. And so this was the move they made to push their chips in and kind of sacrifice their future a little bit for this one last push that they think they can make. And I don't know that I would have done it, but they made that move, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, can they get into the tournament? We'll see about it. Chris, always great. Thanks for the time.
Yep, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
There he is, Chris Hine, covers the Timberwolves for the Star Tribune on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Quick break. We'll have the weather. We'll talk NASCAR. The Daytona 500's coming up, the Great American Race. Jordan Bianchi from The Athletic will join us here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. We all know the big game is tomorrow night in New Orleans, Kansas City, and Philadelphia. And then a week from Sunday, it is NASCAR's biggest event, the Daytona 500. The Great American Race is coming up. Speed Weeks, a lot of activities going on at Daytona. And then hopefully the weather is good for the 500. It's one of those sporting events that's still on my bucket list that I want to get there. Don't know if I ever get to the Masters, but I certainly want to get to a Daytona 500. It won't be this year, but one of these years. And joining us from The Athletic, and he covers motorsports and NASCAR, is Jordan Bianchi. Jordan, good to visit with you.
It's good to visit you with you, and I don't mean to rub it in, but I'm down here in Daytona Beach already, and it's in the 70s and sunny, and there's not a cloud in the sky. So I'm not trying to rub it in, but that's just the weather conditions down here right now.
Yeah, and hopefully the weather stays great all week. Don't want to see weather problems for the Daytona 500 and the Great American Race. Before we get to that, let's get to the Clash. I was so grateful for the Clash because it was the first weekend without meaningful football, and I'm talking college or pro football, since late August. I know the NFL doesn't start until September, but there's college football in late August. There's high school football getting started. So it's kind of like, now what am I going to do? Oh, the Clash at historic Bowman Gray Stadium. Tell us more. How cool was that?
It was very, very cool. It was like stepping back into a time machine. And those who aren't familiar with Bowman Gray, it is a racetrack that used to, you know, literally they have a football field in the middle of it. A Division II school plays there. The track has been around since 1937. Its roots, you know, even go back further than NASCAR's. It's this old school classic short track. When you think of NASCAR, you think of short track racing and, you know, guys running into each other and that kind of thing. That is what Bowman Gray is all about. And NASCAR went back there for the first time since 1971, and it was incredible. It was only about, and I say this in air quotes, there's only about 18, 19,000 people there, but it felt like four times that. It just had this amazing intensity in the atmosphere, and the fans were into it. It was everything that you want it to be to kind of kick off your season. And it's exactly what you said, Steve. It's like it's purposely put on that Sunday between the championship, the conference championship games, and the Super Bowl on Big Fox as a way to kind of like, hey, NASCAR's right here. It's a little bit of an appetizer. And then 2 weeks you watch the Daytona 500. So cool. Kudos to NASCAR for pulling it off, because it's not something that a lot of people ever thought was going to happen.
Yeah, and what's so great is there's a history, and really, you're talking about motorsports in a phone booth. I mean, it is a tiny track. To say it is in a college football stadium is an understatement, and it's not the Coliseum, because they built that track in the LA Coliseum a couple of times for this event. This was really good and filled a void in my sports viewing schedule, so I'm forever grateful.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a great little, you know, kind of like I said, it gets you excited for the season. And, you know, the Coliseum was a great event, and that NASCAR was able to build a football stadium in the LA Coliseum, you know, is a testament to them, what they're able to do. But that had kind of run its course after 3 years, and you kind of got to keep things fresh. And this is an opportunity to go to an old school track to kind of reignite the fan base a little bit. And then the question is what are you going to do next year with this? You go back to Bowman Gray, you go to a different short track. There's a really big push to even take this race to like Brazil or somewhere internationally. Nationally. So a cool thing. And then, like I said, it gets us ready for Daytona in a few weeks.
Yeah, and the NASCAR has changed it up a lot. You and I in the past have talked about how particularly the summer schedule got really stale. Two trips to Pocono and two trips to Michigan. With all due respect to those tracks, the Tricky Triangle and Michigan, it just was really, really stale, and I'm glad they mixed it up. They put a ton of money into North Wilkesboro, on and on and on. I think it's great, the variety. They did the show at Road America a couple years in a row. Very, very cool. And I encourage that. They came to Iowa with the Cup Series. All good things.
It is, and they've really taken a lot of the redundancy and staleness out of the schedule and removed that and injected it with new tracks, which gives new energy and excitement, and it just doesn't feel like the same repetitive thing, especially through the summer months, because that was really the big thing. And now you're going into new markets. You know, you're going into Austin, Texas. You're going into Nashville. You have this the race in right in downtown L.A. You've got a race in St. Louis and Iowa and et cetera, et cetera. And it just allows. And even this year, NASCAR is going to Mexico City. You know, that's something that's completely new and different. But because you were able to basically, you know, take a stick of dynamite to the schedule and blow it up and get rid of a lot of places and dates that you just didn't need second dates at, it has allowed you to be creative with it, and it's given NASCAR a big jolt, and hopefully NASCAR continues this ascent it's been on, where they have some momentum behind it now. The television ratings are strong, and it really kind of feels like it's kind of come out of its doldrums that it was in for a long time there.
Yeah, and by the way, North Wilkesboro hosts the All-Star race as we get into May, which seems like a long time, but you know how that goes. Time flies, and before you know it, we'll be counting down to the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. All right, on to the Daytona 500. You did a piece at The Athletic about the drivers who haven't been able to break through in the Great American Race.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a big number of them, and I guess Kyle Busch is probably first and foremost. You know, Kyle's been racing, he's a two-time champion and been racing in the Daytona 500 now since 2005, and he's come close. He almost won this race a couple years ago, and he has not done it, and it's the one crown jewel that he's missing. He's won the other three big crown jewel races in NASCAR. He's got a couple Cup Series championships, but the one thing he's missing from his resume is a Daytona 500 win, and that's something that Kyle badly wants to do, and you can make the comparisons. I mean, and people have, of he's kind of become the Dale Earnhardt of his generation at Daytona, and it's not far-fetched when you look at it. A lot of near misses, a lot of woulda, shoulda, coulda, but just hasn't been able to do it. So he is certainly one driver. Brad Keselowski's another driver, a Cup champion who doesn't have a win in this race, and then like a Chase Elliott as well. And so quite a few big names have not won this race and had their moment to celebrate to winning the Great American Race. And it just adds to it. It just shows you how hard this race is to win.
And how would you rank them? Daytona 500's number one. You got the Southern 500, traditionally yep. Labor Day weekend over the years. Maybe the next biggest. I know Indy's huge for the drivers. Yep. And you've got the Coca-Cola 600 at Charlotte Motor Speedway. With the Daytona 500 above those, but is that how you would kind of rank the top races and the most meaningful?
Yeah, I mean, those are definitely the four majors, right? If you're going to really compare it to golf and you've got your four majors over there, these are the four majors. You've got the Coke 600 Charlotte, you've got Southern 500 at Darlington, you've got the Brickyard 400 at Indy, and then obviously Daytona 500. Daytona 500 among those four is certainly number one. Where it falls after that on the spectrum of the three, it kind of depends. I mean, the Southern 500 is probably the toughest to win because it's Darlington, and it's an absolute grind, and it's the oldest speedway. It's been around since 1950. But then there's some drivers that say winning Indianapolis Motor Speedway is historic, and being able to do that is tough. And then there's other people that say, listen, if I can win the 600 in Charlotte, which is my home race in the backyard of all the teams and everything else, that's a big deal. So kind of a bit of a personal preference, but winning any one of those is a big thing. And it's one of those are the four races, though, that when you look at resumes, when it's all said and done, you say, okay, they won these races. Because if you can win one of those races, you've certainly earned it.
Jordan Bianchi joining us from The Athletic, covers motorsports and NASCAR, the Daytona 500 coming up a week from Sunday, joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Before we let you go, Jordan, want to talk about the Hall of Famers and another piece you did, fascinating read about Carl Edwards. Here was a guy at the top of the sport, one of the most popular drivers. When he'd win, he'd do that backflip. If memory serves, he'd stand on the door and backflip, and right, and he stepped away and just disappeared, and now he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, he did. He just stepped away and he vanished in the prime of his career. He really came off a championship in 2016 that he thought he should have won. He probably should have won it. And it feels like it got taken away from him, and he just disappeared. And a lot of people in the industry were like, "What? Why is he leaving? Is there something more?" He was just like, "No, I want to spend time with my family." But people really had a hard time, I don't say believing that, but they're like, "Is there something more going on here? Was he injured? That kind of thing." It's like, no, he just was gone, and he hasn't been around at all. But the thing of it is he has come back, and he's gone through this process of, you know, learning that he was going to be in the Hall of Fame a year ago, and then all through this journey that, he's been welcomed back by fans. And he admits, like, he was really, really scared to come back and go through this because he didn't know how well he was going to be received. He didn't think fans were going to appreciate the fact that he was there, but he had just left. And he has really kind of reconnected with fans, and he's rediscovered his love of NASCAR too. And he has said, like, I thought I could just leave and never think about it again, and I realized that I couldn't. So it's kind of been a full circle thing for him, and to have him kind of be very candid about his emotions and his path to get to this point. He gave a Hall of Fame speech last night that was really among the best I've ever heard, and he was very, very open about his feelings. And if you haven't heard it, I would recommend checking it out. But he talks about it and of how he was just really worried of doing this, that people weren't going to accept him, and they have certainly opened their arms, and it's been a humbling moment for him, for sure.
And one of the more unique celebrations, as a matter of fact, YouTube has a compilation of the Carl Edwards backflips. They've got it all on YouTube, so.
Yeah, it's I don't know how he does it. There was a lot of people last night, they're chanting for him to do a backflip, and it's like, he's on a stage with dress shoes. Like, I just don't think this is a good idea. His wife was not at all in favor of it, and so ultimately Carl did the smart thing and listened to his wife and didn't do it. But, man, it would have been interesting to see. I probably could do it. He's in great shape. So.
Oh, I'm sure. Jordan, great to visit with you as always. Have a great week at Daytona. Hopefully we can do it again down the road.
Look forward to it, my friend, and we'll talk down the road, and thanks again.
There he is, Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic covers NASCAR here on News Talk. 830-WCCO.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.